Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 55 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by our co-host, Steve, and we're going to do our little Christmas episode of the weekly recap. And we're going to begin with some entertainment talk around the latest trailers that have released, some quick thoughts on Star Wars, and then we're going to have a conversation on some articles that have come out that have proven that video games are not linked or associated with depression. Then we're going to move into some tech news with Life Labs getting hacked. U.S. Navy bans TikTok. I'm going to give my thoughts on another documentary relating to AI and how it's making it easier to kill us all. And then we have lots of space conversations with the Boeing Starliner, Amazon's Kuiper, as well as the Space Force being created and signed into law. Stick around. Enjoy the show.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back, nerds, to episode 55 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And I'll
Merry
just
Christmas.
Say Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Happy so we're holiday. Recording. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa and this bitch. Whatever you celebrate, it's a time to be happy and spend some time with family and give a bunch of nerd hugs. So for us, it's a Merry Christmas. For whatever it is for you, happy holidays, guys.
Yeah, we're recording this a couple days before, but we'll have this thing edited out and released on Christmas Day. And so hopefully for all of you with those anxiety-ridden drives out to some potentially miserable experience, you get to maybe catch up on some news and get a chuckle on your way out there.
Yeah, pound out the episode, have some nice tidbits of information to drop on the family. You know, seem a little smarter this Christmas than you usually do.
But let's get right into some of these topics here. And the first one that we always like to cover and give our initial thoughts on some of these movies coming up. And last week we talked about a bunch of trailers, but we missed one that came out while we were recording, and that was the Top Gun trailer.
Yeah, man. And once again, what, it's 30 almost 30 years later, I got the fucking Need for Speed, bro. I got the Need for Speed. Like, that thing looks dope.
It looks beautifully Top Gun. It's got all the right cheese that a Top Gun movie needs. They're essentially just modifying the plot slightly, but you still get shirtless men on the beach. You're still somebody dies. There's a funeral in the trailer.
Crotch
somebody
rockets
dies.
Whizzing down runways.
Yeah, I swear one of the people in there has got to be like Goose's son or something, because it looks just like Goose.
I want a Meg Ryan. Like, I gotta have a Meg Ryan. I gotta have a Val Kilmer. You know, like, I want Goose's son in there. Like, I want Maverick to get all the feels. like this movie could be so good on so many levels. Like, yeah, I'm excited.
And it's, you know, it's, I'm sure, going to be just like the original Top Gun, and the flying is going to make no sense. Yeah,
big
the tactics
old Navy,
are going to make no sense.
Big old Navy propaganda movie.
But it's going to be a Navy propaganda. And supposedly, I've seen a bunch of stuff that, like, Tom Cruise is in, like, real jets this time.
Like,
and, like, it is,
he
like,
got
he
strapped
is pulling
to a fucking plane for Mission Impossible. If you don't think he wanted to get in the cockpit for these, you're fucking crazy.
And like, he is actually supposedly like sitting through what are like legit like 8G turns and pulls on these aircraft.
No, in the one trailer, you could see that it's Tom Cruise with his cheeks hitting on windows. Boy, like, you could definitely tell it's him. Which so, yeah, I got no, mad love, you know, as much as I would love to make fun of Tom Cruise and bask in his age. You know, like, he gives no fucks, man. He gives no fucks. It's them Zetons in him or whatever the fuck. But he is just aging really well and taking it in stride, man. Because I don't think I could do that goddamn airship like without shitting my pants or puking on something.
No, yeah, he's definitely an impressive actor when it comes to all of what he puts himself through in
order to get authentic shots. Keanu is the only actor I could put on the same level as, like, dedication, that, you know, willing to go that extra mile to train and be, you know, as immersive in the film as he can. Like, it's the only one that comes to my mind.
Yeah, so that trailer looks good. I mean, I'm definitely gonna be one to see Top Gun at some point in time because it's looks. I don't say it looks great. So
man, it's my entire childhood. Like it's yeah, it's my entire childhood.
Another trailer that came out a couple days ago. It was that movie Tenet.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what it's about.
Christopher Nolan, like another crazy like Inception type movie. It looks like it's somebody cracked time travel or something, or like some version of it, because it just looks like, you know, in the video games when you make a mistake and you're able to hit like L1 and rewinds it and lets you do it over. It's basically that in movie form. Like, that's what it kind of looks like.
Someone
cracked the 15-second skip back thing in space time.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah, half the trailer is things going backwards. You know, you got boats in the ocean going backwards, people getting pulled backwards on the ground and stuff like that. So it definitely it looks interesting. I don't know what it follows. As far as I don't know if there's like a book or whatever else. Maybe some people in the group know what this movie is about. I don't, but the trailer absolutely looks interesting. So good job, Christopher Nolan. Good trailer. Hopefully we'll go check that one out.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give Christopher Nolan a shot on anything he does. He's not 100% successful on everything, but he deserves a quick glance.
So new releases that have come out in this last week, and something that's been talked a lot about in our group over at thenerdcantina.com/community within our Facebook group is the Witcher show on Netflix. Have you gotten a chance to check it out yet?
I watched the first episode. With Christmas coming, I've been really swamped trying to make sure everybody gets what, you know, has a Merry Christmas. So I've only gotten to watch the first episode, and it does have some promise. I did feel a little out of the loop. I think if you've played the video games, you'll know a little bit more. I think it really does cater to those Witcher fans. But I wasn't so out of it that I wasn't interested and aren't going to keep up with the story and find out what's going on. Like the color scale on it is really good. It's really gritty. The fight scenes were phenomenal. I'm not even a big Henry Cavill fan, and he looks great in it. I think he does. So far, he's done a really good job. So I'm here for it. I'll pound it out, especially with a lot of TV shows on winter break and stuff like this. I should be able to get through it really quick.
Yeah, it's definitely something that people are talking about within the group. I have yet to watch it. It's definitely on my list to get to. I've just been buried behind Christmas prep and birthday parties for my daughter.
I'm not gonna lie either. I pounded out the last season of Miss Maisel too. I give no fucks. You say whatever you want about me, but that show is fucking great. Like, so I was on a Miss Maisel kick.
But the Witcher looks good. So if you're watching or listening to this and you're not a part of the Facebook group or you haven't checked it out, there is a discussion thread in the Facebook group where people are having their conversations and full thoughts on the show itself now. So go ahead and join the group over at thenerdcantina.com/community and get involved in the conversation for some Witcher talk.
And then, as everybody knows, Rise of Skywalker came out this week. I gave not even kind of a review because I just didn't. It's hard to do it spoiler free or have, you know, not like go into detail on anything. So I just kind of gave my initial reaction on a YouTube video, and I think I summed up. I think I did a pretty good job of summing up the feel of the movie without giving any kind of details or plot points or any. I didn't give anything away. I just kind of gave my tone at walking out of the theater and used a pretty decent analogy. So if you want, go check that out. It's up on our YouTube channel. And I think we're going to try to do another spoiler filled, Patreon episode, sometime this week to post up on the Patreon site. So for as little as a dollar, like just one measly buck, you can hear our thoughts, our complete thoughts on Rise of Skywalker and join in on that discussion. through our Patreon page. I'm finding it a little disheartening how hard it is to get people to part away with a dollar. For literally $12 a year, you can support our show, and it is it's slow rolling. it's pretty slow rolling.
You know, I did get to Star Wars as well on early Saturday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, a Saturday show, and yeah, we can talk about it with spoiler free and or full of spoilers later, but. I don't know. Initial spoiler-free thoughts for mine were, I don't know, it was entertaining. And I could see why it's got, you know, it has terribly mixed reviews. And whether it's critics or fan opinion, this one is extremely split on how people's experiences were with the movie. Yeah,
I think it all depends on what your expectations were and what kind of Star Wars fan you are.
I agree.
Like the mixture of both is pretty much going to determine how you feel about this movie.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about the plot holes and some of the specifics of the movie, in the Patreon discussion. So, join us over there when that releases. If you're a Patreon, subscriber, you'll get that email alert and the link to go ahead and listen to that.
And if not, just sign up for a buck.
All right. But to stay in a little more on the entertainment side, there was an article that came out last week, that was discussing some research that has recently come out that has shown that video games, are not linked to depression as many people kind of talking points and headlines would tend to have you believe. A lot of people think that, you know, video games is this antisocial behavior that leads you down some path towards depression, and the science doesn't support it.
Yeah. And if you are a gamer or in the know, you can kind of piece this together yourself. You know, what they're stating is that social networking and television are more drivers towards depression because, one, the internet can be a horribly savage place. So there's no surprise that the internet will make you depressed. Like, it's like that's a given, you know. But also how in our days of binge watching TV, you can really, you know, isolate yourself in a room and just watch 30 episodes of Friends and not have any contact with the outside world and just kind of bask in your negative thoughts and things like that to, you know, further get into that depression hole. To whereas video games, I want to say they said some 80% of video games played now are socially interactive. You know, so 80% of people or video games being played are actually in a community. You have to work well with others. You have to, you know, communicate. And this is actually counterintuitive to what most people think is associated with heavy gamers, that you're locked in a room by yourself and you're just isolating yourself from society. You're not isolating yourself from society. You may be isolating yourself from your family. You know, fuck you, dad, and slam the door and just go play Call of Duty for 6 hours, you know. But as far as it leads to depression, no, you get to communicate with like-minded people, common interests, things like that. And that actually does help, you know, counteract the depression.
Yeah, and I think it's a weird thing. It's still even weird. I think for even our age group, as we've grown up with video games and largely internet, to some extent, but like the concept that real life in-person friendships are becoming more and more meaningless as we go along, like these internet-based friendships that exist through games and everything else are just as enriching and important to an individual psyche today as having real-life relationships. And the video game community provides actually a healthy approach towards that. It's not the social media networks. It's not the Twitter trolls. It's people that they actually have shared experience with, that they're actually engaging with in conversation. It's a different group when you interact with people through video game.
Let's be real. It for some people and for a lot of people, it's hard to make real life friends. You know, you're basically in a lottery of people in close proximity that have shared interests that you can tolerate, right? Like, you know, you're just kind of bouncing around off the walls of society. And if you meet someone really cool that you can hang out with at church, at work, at a school function, at wherever it may be, you know, that's kind of like a lucky thing. You know, I don't know too many people who have, you know, over a dozen like really good friends. We all have 800 to 1,000 Facebook friends, and we
800 to 1,000
people that we talk to. Yeah, I think I got like
we don't all have 800 to 1,000 Facebook friends.
Well, I want to say, well, maybe not you, but people in the younger generation, I think, are in that 1,000 range. I would say the average millennial probably has in around there, you know, especially as you age. But you those aren't like friends, you know what I mean? They're not people that you're going to call when you need help to move. They're not people that are going to be there, you know, when you're going through tough times. I think the people that actually have those friends are in the handful, and how you get that handful is pretty random. But online, you do have more access to not have a physical presence with more people like that, but you can find meaningful relationships through the internet, because the odds of you meeting someone that falls into that criteria of being a good friend are way higher once you
yeah, and especially when you start right, you start at a base point like a video game that you're interested in, and the people you meet there, at least you have one point of commonality. You have one point to start from. Again, you have some level of shared experience, some level of shared interest, and then the more you tend to interact through that, it still can create good friendships. It avoids isolation. It avoids some of these other issues that can result in increased likelihood of depression. So, the next time somebody tells you.
Well, I still talk to a lot of my World of Warcraft friends, you know, that I haven't played World of Warcraft in 5 years, 6 years, and I still talk to these guys. And most of the people I play video games with online are people that live within a 20-minute drive of my house, but we're just all busy and lazy, so we don't get to see each other all the time. So video games have been our, like, hangout.
The next time somebody brings up to you that this is such an unhealthy behavior, or, you know, again, if you're raising kids or you have kids in the future and you're concerned about these things as being some terribly unhealthy behavior, there are definitely ways to do this that are within the healthy bounds, that do enrich friendships, that do kind of enrich the social experience of an individual. It's not something to be abstained from, and we're now starting to see some research-backed studies that are proving this. And this one was a study with over 3,000 participants, carried a lot of good science, good weight behind it to really hammer home this idea that, hey, video games are not linked to depression, and not in the way we think.
Yeah, I'm sure our good friend Dr. Rachel Colwart is really subscribing to this study.
All right, now we can move on to first some tech adjacent stuff with another cyber attack or issue. This one's interesting. This first one that we have with Life Labs. So Life Labs, a company in Canada, a medical company in Canada that ended up getting hacked and losing 15 million users' data, which also medical test results and medical data, all stolen through a hacker approach. And what makes this one unique is that the hackers had a cyber intrusion into their company, taking a ton of information. Again, 15 million individuals. All of the data they took was from 2016 or older. But the hackers took the data and then immediately communicated it to the company, letting them know that they've exploited them, and then holding for ransom that they would give them the data back if a ransom was paid. And the company paid it. Yeah, and the company paid it. And then they
you know, paid that shit.
Notified the authorities and everything else. But they paid a ransom in order to recover the 15 million users' data. That's got to be lost money, right? Like,
and like, what makes it, so this isn't like a kidnapping where, you know, they kidnap a person and then
you get the person back, right?
Like, how do we know that they didn't dump all that data onto the dark web anyways? And you know, like they said in the article that they did do some research. They were looking for it on the dark web. They couldn't find it. But I mean, this, it could be still on a USB somewhere on a removable hard drive. They're just going to dump this shit later. Like, yeah, how do you know?
That was my thought too. I was just like, so maybe it was such a small number as far as like corporate small, you know, you're talking about the amount of money that that corporations can put out to these things. Maybe what they had to pay was so small that they just figured even if these people were lying and they ask for more money a year from now.
I want to say, wasn't it like $5 million?
I didn't see the dollar amount in any of the articles I read, but.
No, I thought it had
But you got to assume, again, it's that money's just lost. What stops these people from calling you 30 days from now and just saying, hey, remember that last time you paid us? We still have it.
Yeah, we got all that information still. So we're gonna need another payment.
It's definitely an interesting case. Yeah. This one being a little more unique because, one, the size of it. 15 million users' data is, I mean, that is a significant breach. And we're talking about medical data being lost. And then apparently this is a thing. Apparently holding these companies and holding or asking for ransom in order to not release the items. I wonder how much this happens, right? I doubt this is the first time. How many times has this happened that you, yeah. How many times has this been paid out
and
a company
then
doesn't,
that's for sure,
call the authorities, or they just kind of sweep it under the rug in order to preserve their own image and their own interests? Curious. I have not heard of this strategy yet, so I definitely wanted to bring it to the canteen here today.
Yeah, this.
Right, then Nick, the next topic is it's a follow up to just one we talked about. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We talked about the top general in the Marine Corps talking about educating service members on not using TikTok and why we need to educate them, and the kind of really the threats of this Chinese owned company and essentially data mining U.S. citizens, military members for as much information as they can. And we have no idea where that information is going. And then now we get the Navy this week has banned TikTok from any government issued devices and phones. I think this is a no-brainer.
I almost think they should expand it to personal devices. I mean, it's hard to... I mean, I know we're getting into murky waters of freedoms and stuff like that, but I think once you sign up for the military, you've kind of already came to terms with limiting your own freedom of life and what you can do. You know, I think that comes when you sign on that dotted line, you know, so I would, you know, as far as they can ban people from using it on the military devices, you know, that's one thing, but... You know, you got a bunch of dudes, you know, with their own personal cell phones, you know, still probably using these things and sending emails or you know, whatever the case may be. They're still going to get some data and they're going to try to use that against our national security. This is going to be really weird how this plays out over the next decade. You know, 2020s are going to be really interesting in what companies we allow to have to be a part of our business, our commerce, or our part of our society or our life based on the nations that are developing these apps and the countries that are developing these apps. I mean, we already talked about you know, where we're going to store our data. We're not letting China, you know, store U.S. data anymore.
I don't know how this wasn't banned already when you look at it.
A major issue.
It says it was on like government issued phones. Why are you playing on TikTok or Facebook or whatever else on a taxpayer paid for device? Like this should have already been a no brainer. I'm pretty sure this should have already been explicitly banned if it wasn't. I don't know how, but yeah, the concept of
if it's coming out of my taxes, you get a walkie talkie. It's what you get. We need to go back to the Nextel chirp days. just chirping everybody.
Whether they can ban it across the service. It potentially might get to a point where they can do those things, and not necessarily, you know, oftentimes the military service can't ban individual behavior, but what they can do is just classify things in a way where, you know, you already can't bring smartphones or smartwatches or whatever else into certain classified areas, whether that's even like Congress, you know, the Republicans got in trouble a couple weeks ago for bringing phones into closed sessions and whatever else. So you can already ban certain devices and classify all military bases as GPS sensitive areas. You cannot come into these areas with any location tracking devices or, well, at least many certain areas, especially certain bases, taking it onto places like ships or deployments, taking your cell phones or taking, there are ways to ban these things when you change certain classifications. So it's potentially a move forward or a move that might have to be necessary. Again, as these things become definitely more intrusive, it's easier to then, it's really not that hard to scrape people's Facebook profiles and Facebook and information to find out who's in the military and then find out where they're located. And
what American company is going to come up and just rip TikTok off and make click clack or some shit, like just make a new one that's ran by Americans for Americans and let's keep it moving. Like, let's go
along with we can keep it in the military area as I just can't help myself lately watching these AI documentaries. And I caught another one this last week, and it was, the title of it was AI Makes It Easier to Kill Us All. So I was hooked. I just had to watch it. Had to see it. It was a short one.
No clickbait involved in there. It was a short one. It was only like 20 minutes.
The link's up on the show notes here at thenerdcantina.com/show55. And it's honestly, it is fascinating. And I'll just talk about some of the scarier elements when we talk about the AI. They showed these little like micro drones that already exist. Like, they showed people demonstrating them.
Yeah, I've heard
they're like
of
little kamikaze micro drones that they could just. That's essentially what it is. Like, it's literally a guy who pulls this drone, which is smaller than the palm of his hand, and he just chucks it into the air. The drone activates, it flies around, and then through AI, it's scanned, located the target, and then just flew itself into creating a hole in the skull of this dummy. And
was it like actual human, like humanoid skull, like or was it just like a mannequin head that it put a hole in?
So it was like a mannequin head, but they discussed that, like, that technology, it's well known that it exists, right? To weaponize these little mini drones.
This was the premise of that,
there was a movie,
the
right?
Movie, yeah. So one of the movies I reviewed with Gerard Butler, I can't remember the title of it, but it's that Fallen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so that was it. Like, military drones that had like C4 attached to them, and there's 1,000 drones in the air hitting targets, blowing, like it. And then when I did watch that, I was just like, oh shit. Like, yup, this is the future. Like, yup, well, this is definitely the future.
And this documentary talks a fair amount of this is about how that technology is, it's 100% real. These drones are really easy and cheap to make. You could, with very little effort, make them. The AI sensors exist to where you could throw them up in the air and you can target it. You can tell the computers that you can put on these drones, and you can tell them, like, you will target men between the age of 18 and 60, and you will and it'll go out and it'll scan individuals, and then it can just autonomously attack targets that meet certain criteria.
I'm gonna trademark a screenplay of a AI serial killer. Some computer just goes sentient and then goes off the deep end from reading 4chan forums and just becomes some AI serial killer, and this is what he does. Like, that's insane. Like, there's a couple of rap songs, and there's always been like a rap theme of like 6 million ways to die. Like, I think we put that number on a multiple that I don't think we can scale anymore. We added at least another couple million to that number. I don't think 6 million is the new trend. I think with AI and robots and stuff, we've added a couple new ones to the list.
Yeah, it's the drone stuff is like, it is scary, but again, drones aren't necessarily AI, but it's what you can put in, the technology you can put into simple things like little micro drones or larger drones, that you can essentially program them to be pretty selective. And this documentary makes a case that, like, yeah, nuclear warfare you know, would be absolutely devastating. But well, it's got
a lot of
problems.
People that have a big fear of drones. So we have a Cantina member and a friend of mine, Dave, and he loves his drone. Like he went live putting up like his Christmas gifts, Christmas decorations on his house, and the drone was like across the street, 30 feet in the air. You can see him on the roof putting the Santa up and all the Christmas lights, and he brings the drone to like his kids' soccer games and stuff like that. And I guess the last game he was at, man, a bunch of parents went like ape shit on him for having a drone at his kid's soccer game. And we're just like, this isn't right. Like this is an invasion of privacy. Like that. It's like, man, what's the difference if I'm holding a GoPro, if I got a GoPro strapped to my forehead, or if I just send it on a robot 30 feet in the air so I could get a better view? Like, and I guess, yeah. He caused a major uproar at one of his kids' like sports functions because people just can't get around this new, you know, it's because it's all boomers and Gen Xers at these games.
Yeah, and everybody's heard some story about like a drone flying outside somebody's window and recording somebody changing or whatever else. So yeah, people associate this with being way more invasive.
The drone Animal House scenario.
Yeah. But yeah, so the documentary, it definitely paints a grim picture of the drones and what AI can do as far as weaponizing these things and making it fully autonomous. There's also, they show some Russian tanks that are 100% autonomous now that don't require anybody to be in it, and they could actually do all of its own targeting if you so choose to let it.
We got self-driving trucks, self-driving cars. I mean, you know that everything in the military, because that's always the argument for why we shouldn't go to war. Should we send our children across the seas to fight these battles? Well, the minute Congress could just say, no, we're not going to send any humans. Like we're not gonna send your child across to Iran to fight this war. We're just gonna send a bunch of robots. The backlash from you know the citizens is gonna be far less. You know, you're gonna have a lot of fiscally conservative people that might not like that idea, but I mean, I think that's one of the ultimate goals, is they want to limit actual feet on the ground. And when you do so, it makes it a lot easier to justify some of these needless and endless military incursions that we've been going on over the last two decades.
Yeah, the whole documentary, the purpose of the documentary, like it does show again these autonomous tanks and these drone systems and other ways that AI can weaponize technology that already exists. Really, the point of the documentary, though, that it tries to hammer home at the end, it paints this scary picture. It's just the fact that how inept human beings are at managing these things and regulating these things. That, like, currently, you know, in the Geneva and during these, you know, international body conventions and stuff like that, they're still debating on the terminology of what a fully autonomous weapon system is and what equals a fully autonomous, whatever else. Like, we can't even get to the point of like having treaties that ban these things or talking about actual development. We know countries are doing it, and we can't
AI is going to have to be treated like chemical weapons.
Yeah, right? But the problem is the people who are representing the nations or whatever else, like they don't understand it. They can't speak about it well. The few people who are received with skepticism, and then it just shows panels and meetings with the UN where people are just debating again over like the vocabulary being used, and they can't come to an agreement on even what is a fully autonomous weapon system and how. So we are not even getting to the point of regulating it. And essentially, the documentary is saying
white people suck.
We're like,
old white people suck.
So it's saying that we're really 10 years away, probably, from even having an understanding of the definition. But we're 3 years away from the weapon systems, right? We're like we're going to constantly be so far behind because the technology is happening so quickly, and we're not even equipped with dealing with it.
This is what's frustrating too about our politics. Just to dip my big toe into the political pool real quick, when you watch these debates, you know the front runners are all in their 70s, some in their 80s.
Yeah,
like these are not the people we should be relying on to face these problems. Like, you know, I mean, it's so frustrating as someone that's about to turn 40 that is nearing the age of becoming one of these old white people that I hate. So while I'm still in the window of not being the old white person and still being a relatively middle-aged white person, I would like a shot at having a say-so in how we take our society into the future. And instead, we are either being dragged in one direction by millennials who have great intentions but no experience as to how the world works, and you know, they have great aspirations and things like that, but some are so unrealistic. And then you have the other side of boomers and even past boomers still running for office that are just so stuck in the Stone Ages. I mean, you got people still talking about record players in debate floors. Like, record fucking players, man. I know vinyl's coming back, but for real, man, come on.
Yeah, this is one of the main points of the documentary is that fully autonomous weapon systems, they're here. They already exist. The prevalence is unknown. We don't know what these countries are necessarily doing with it, but we know that they're developing it. We know that we're developing it. We know that civilian companies are developing these the AI that's going to be used to fuel these things. And internationally, even in the US, we're not prepared to regulate this. We're not prepared to manage this. And the technology's, it's not only here, but it's going to be cheap. It's going to be cheap and easy to use and to program. So it might be something people hopefully get behind and understand. The scary thing is, and even the documentary talks about it, is no matter what, we're never getting to Terminator on Terminator warfare, right? Like that's not how wars are won.
If I had to put my money down, not that I don't care about climate change, but if I had to put my money down on something, it's robots are going to wipe the humans off this planet. It ain't going to be climate change. Like, climate change is a real problem. I do think we need to combat it. But I do honestly believe if I had to put money in Vegas on what's going to wipe out the human race, it'll be robots, bro. Like, way faster than climate change.
I don't necessarily.
Climate change is the slow bet, the slow long game. You know, robots are creeping up on us really fucking fast, man. Really fucking fast.
Well, time will tell, and hopefully, I'm not here for any of it.
I hope on my deathbed I get to watch the robot invasion. Like, if I'm going to be, you know, I'm hoping I'm like 82 with some kind of like crazy disease that's eating my body away, and just point me at the window and let me watch these robots mow everybody over and like whatever. That's my goal. I want to live long enough just to see it.
All right. Well, if you want to watch this and see some of the scary tech that the documentary highlights, go to thenerdcantina.com/show55, and it'll take you to our show notes link where you can see this YouTube documentary that I was just recapping there. All right, next let's move into some space for a little bit and then we'll get people off to their Christmases. So we've got first off, this last week we did have an important test for NASA, and that was the Boeing Starliner. And we talk a lot in the show just because, you know, it's easy to talk about SpaceX and Elon because he's always in the news. But what we see is, government-wise, there's more money from NASA put into Boeing as the next platform for space exploration. Boeing has received almost $5 billion from NASA to develop the Starliner, whereas it's less than $3 billion given to SpaceX. So Starliner is attempting to make the next platform for crewed space missions, and they had a big test this week, which was an autonomous test, an unmanned test of their Starliner system out to orbit. It was supposed to dock with the International Space Station and then return to prove that the Starliner is going to be able to get astronauts to space and to the ISS. And it failed miserably this last week.
I don't take these stories like as a big, like, necessarily failure. I mean, who attempts to do something crazy and then nails it in a one shot? You know, like I could watch cake videos all day and then go try to recreate that cake, and it's not going to come out the same way. You know what I mean? I think we put so much pressure on these eggheads and nerds of ours that do these calculations and build these things, and we give them such high expectations because they are the smartest of us, that everything's going to work out in a one shot. And I don't have that, you know, kind of like expectations. You know, I've gotten a red ring of death on my Xbox. If we can't build Xboxes on launch day that are going to last for years, I really don't expect the first iteration of space travel and all this stuff to kind of work out. Now, do I expect them to like totally miss the mark and just fuck all kinds of shit up when they do it? No. But there needs to be a certain percentage of error kind of expected with these things, because that's how they work out the bugs. That's how they get it perfect, is by trial and error.
Yeah, and yes, there is always some level of failure that should happen, right? We just had SpaceX on their Starship, you know, blew the top off a couple weeks ago during some pressure testing, and we celebrated that. This one was supposed to be, like, the bugs should have been worked out largely on this. This was the last test to prove that they were going to put human beings in this next, the very next launch of Starliner was supposed to be manned. So this one was supposed to be pretty smooth, and it just didn't go very smoothly. Part of it just came down to what Starliner and Boeing is saying is just some unlucky issues where while it was in orbit, so it had a successful launch, it recovered its boosters successfully. The Starliner made it into initial orbit, and then essentially the computer system on the Starliner, whether it was a programming issue or whatever else, it started to move itself into orbit in a way that was unplanned, and it burnt way too much fuel in order to do it. It almost like read itself as it's in post mission, it's in its descent, rather than just getting it out to matching the ISS orbit. Well, in doing that, it burnt way too much fuel, and then it just didn't have enough fuel to get to the ISS orbit and then to return. So they had to essentially abort the mission at that point in time, and couldn't get it out there. And part of the reason why they weren't able to correct it is because they had lost communication with it during that time frame. It was like a perfect storm of it was doing improper things at the right time where there was no communication to it, and they couldn't correct it from the ground. Had there been human beings on the Starliner and in real time could have corrected it, they probably would have corrected it. They probably would have gotten to the ISS. So there was really no failure in it that was catastrophic, that proved that it was unsafe. It was more of a programming issue, but still a costly, I'm sure, error on their end, as it had to return a couple days early, never made it to the ISS, and kind of showed some flaws again in programming, but really didn't probably serve as a test necessary for them to move forward. So they're probably going to have to redo this test at some point in time next year. I'm sure Elon is secretly super happy as they're ready to test theirs, I think, next month in January. So I think they're looking to launch their Crew Dragon next month. And I'm sure they're just hoping to beat Boeing in this regard.
Yeah, I just fix it. You know what I mean? Like you find these bugs, take it back to the drawing board, fix it. I mean, how many black and white videos are the Wright brothers just crashing and wrecking fucking planes over and over and over again before they got that first, you know, 100-yard, 3 feet off the ground flight? You know, like it's the same kind of concept. You just you can't, you know, look at these as major failures. They are, you know, in the technical word, it is a failure, but it's part of the process, right? I mean, failure is the part of the process to success.
Yeah. So we'll see if when Boeing gets another shot at this. But another topic in space news is we've got Amazon, who is, they're now lobbying really for FCC approval to use the satellite band. So all these low Earth orbit satellites that we've been talking about, whether it's Amazon's Kuiper, or we've been talking about obviously Starlink, you've also got OneWeb, a bunch of these companies that are launching these low Earth orbit satellites in order to provide internet. Well, they all require a very specific frequency band that the FCC just opened up for people to get their piece of that band. Starlink, they registered the paperwork. They got their band. OneWeb, they registered theirs, as well as another dozen companies registered in time. Amazon, I don't know. Some dude Lex is probably Luther. Fired right now because he just forgot to hit send on an email to the FCC or whatever else and didn't file for the frequency band. Well, Amazon is lobbying to get their FCC approval for their Kuiper belt, which, you know, they have plans to start launching next year. They wanted to test this internet system. We talked about it last week that they're moving ahead with testing their internet system by summer of next year. And you got guys like Elon who are telling the government, like, no, they didn't wait in line. Like, yeah. You don't get to show up to the Black Friday sale and just say, hey, I missed it. I still want those doorbuster deals. No, it's over. Like, it's one time sale. There's a one time sale to
we
get
got
these.
No more 80-inch TVs, yeah. Pal. They gone. Like, they gone.
It was, there's no rain checks here. Like, you get a one time sale and you forgot to file the paperwork to get the frequency band that you needed to operate your satellites. Come up with a new plan. But your Elon and OneWeb, they want to see Amazon froze out of getting into this business.
Yeah, I mean, it's I wouldn't even call it dirty, kind of like business politics. I mean, they have a point. Like, we had to wait X amount of time to launch our shit because we needed government approval. Like, Amazon, I mean, you give them a little bit of credit by saying it was probably some dude that forgot to send the email. I'm on the fucking tip that, you know, the bald Bezos was just in a boardroom slamming his fists on a table going, shoot the fucking satellites up. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Just put them in the fucking air. We'll figure it out later. And if that's the case, yeah, no, fuck them. Fuck them.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely a case for Elon, OneWeb, all the people who followed the proper procedures to just win this, and Amazon, this whole Kuiper system for Amazon is going to have to use a different frequency spectrum that's less than desirable, or they scrap the plan altogether. I don't know.
You know, this is like the space form of illegal immigration, man. You can't jump the line. You're going to have people wanting to build space walls now. Like it's going to get out of hand.
So I'm sure we'll find out more of this because, again, we just talked about it last week that Amazon was moving forward with their plans. And then this week you get news that, hey, maybe Amazon can't move forward with their plans because they didn't properly file. So we'll find out more. But last space topic as we're wrapping up here is the Space Force. It's finally created. It's finally a thing.
It's a thing.
It was a joke for a long time.
No longer is it just a theory. We officially have a Space Force. And I want me a logo. I want to see this logo.
Yeah. So, that's essentially now what has to happen, right? The new spending bill was signed into law by President Trump there, and a part of that spending bill, which it's always so weird how these things play out. Like, how does a new branch of the military, the sixth branch of the military, get created not through congressional act or whatever else, but through a spending bill? Cool.
No biggie.
And you get the Space Force getting created as the sixth branch. It's going to be similar in design as what, like, the Marine Corps is now, in the sense that the Marine Corps doesn't have its own secretary of the Marine Corps.
That's what I was going to ask. So, like, the military or the Marine Corps is basically a branch of the Navy. Yeah, so is this a branch of the Air Force?
It is. So the initial individuals who are manning the Space Force are all people from the Air Force who are now being redesignated to the Space Force. The top general was announced during the signing of the bill. The top general who's going to head up the Space Force is an Air Force general who's getting moved over to head up the Space Force. A lot of what the Air Force already does is what the Space Force is doing. So you're now just segmenting those missions from the Air Force and putting it into the Space Force. And they've said that, yeah, now they've got to come up with their own rank structure. They've got to come up with their own logo. They've got to come up with their own motto. They even talked about they got to come up with their own theme song, right? Everybody's got their own hymn, their own.
Fuck
so
yes.
We're going to get, I'm hoping it's like 8-bit.
No, like they're going to do some branding and it's going to be like Lil Uzi Vert.
Yeah.
Some mumble rapper.
But yeah, so now they've got to come up with their own march music or their theme song. So they're doing all of it. It's happening.
Yeah, they all got locations, you know, from the shores of Montezuma, right? So like, what are we gonna do? Like, how is those lyrics gonna go? What are we gonna drop? You know, get Kanye to produce it. I'm all for this, man.
And I'm curious to see what the overall design of the Space Force is going to be. It has talked about that it's a Department of Defense domain, but it's not a like an offensive military domain. The goal is not to weaponize space. It's not to come up with what it is just to protect our satellite networks, because our defense strategy relies so heavily on satellite-based communications and internet and GPS that this is designed to protect those assets.
I mean, we talk about space so much and we can't just assume that everybody shooting shit into orbit is an honest player in the world, you know, society. So we need some kind of entity that is looking out for, you know, at least us Americans, to make sure that people aren't jacking our satellite signals, people aren't shooting down satellites, people are, like, it's space. We, you know, there was only a handful of people that were able to go to space, you know, prior to this generation. Now we're going to have space tourism.
Yeah.
Like, space is a now thing. It used to be sea, land, and air. Well, space is now the fourth part. We have so much access to outer orbit that, man, we got to put a police station up there at some point.
Yeah, right now, it has been said that the mission is not in any way to police space. It's not even about asteroid defense or any type of like space defense. It's purely about just the defense of our current and existing systems, and the protection of those items in Spectrum. So again, I'm sure the mission of the Space Force will be better defined over the next 12 months. It's supposed to get pretty much figured out. 12 months from the signing of the bill is when the top general will start being represented at the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So they'll pretty much still be rolled under the Air Force for the first 12 months. But then
the minute they slap that logo on a $12 graphic tee at Target, I'm buying that motherfucker. I'm all for it.
I am curious to see what the logo is going to look like. So, but hey, Space Force is there. So, hey, nerds, go ahead.
Join now. Join now. We're recruiting. Air Force numbers are going to shoot up.
I am curious on what those. I'm looking forward to like the first recruiting commercial for the Space Force. It's gonna be.
Well,
great.
I mean, we're gonna have to have in the next decade, instead of Top Gun type movies, we're going to have Space Force type movies. It's the military has always used cinema as a propaganda tool. You know, anytime you see movies with these army helicopters, fighter jets and everything, they're all on loan from the military. And the military usually does it almost for free because they're just like, man, make jets look cool. People want to fly jets. Yeah. And the only way you're going to fly a fucking jet is to sign on this dotted line right here, pal. So go ahead, put this jet in a movie.
My question is, do you bother with a boot camp for Space Force? Like, do you really care?
Sure.
Do you really care? Sure. I mean, yeah, but what is the boot camp? It should be like typing class. It should be like they're not the physical domain of those individuals. Like, let's be serious. You're getting the biggest geeks and nerds that you can grab. You don't want them to be in shape. You don't want them wasting their time running. That's not the purpose of the Space Force.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. Yeah, because we're all weightless in space, so but those tubes are really small. Like those little passageway tubes and the space hatch doors. Like you can't have no fat fuck.
Yeah, but that's
clogging up the space hallway.
You're talking about like the equivalent of like the Navy SEALs of Space Force, the people who might actually go to space. The vast majority of them are just going to be in the control centers down on Earth, and
I'm telling you, I see in the next. By 2040, we're gonna have a moon base. Like we're gonna have these things. Like I'm telling you, it's just gonna ramp up and escalate every year that goes by. And as more and more people start getting into space, yeah, you're gonna have, you know, I don't know. I'm all for just America being fitter in general. So if the only way we can do it is by mandating, you know, fitness for government jobs. Like, man, I don't care. Brenda working at the DMV put her ass through a fucking boot camp too. I don't give a shit. Like, we are spending too much money on healthcare. If you got a government job, you got to do some PT, motherfuckers. Like, my tax dollars are paying for your fucking health insurance. Put the donut down, Brenda, and go run a few fucking laps.
All right, well, now that we're on body shaming, let's go to our last topic here and talk about the Miss America.
This is a great story. I love this. With a man with two daughters, I want more of this. Give me all of the scientist Miss Americas that we can handle. For those that don't know, her name is Camille Schrier. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Yes.
But the current Miss America winner, her special talent was biochemistry. And she did a science experiment on stage for the entire judges to critique. And a scientist literally just won Miss America. So, ladies, you can be beautiful and smart, and we will love you for it.
Yeah, she has a crazy background or whatever. She has she got dual bachelor's degrees in, I can't remember the second one. The first one was in biology. The second one, it was like biological systems or something. And she's currently going to medical school or whatever else. But yeah, she's definitely got a science background, and showed it off on stage and contributed towards her crowning of Miss America.
So all you pageant girls out there, we don't want to see your interpretive dance. Put the baton down. No, you know, like, just quit singing. Let's get more of this. Build some shit on stage. Blow some stuff up. Make some ooze. Like these are the things that we should be teaching our young women, that they're more than just a pretty body and with a nice voice. That's not all you need to do.
Does she later get to correct people and when they introduce her as Miss America, does she get to correct them and say Dr.
That's
America?
Dr. Miss America, motherfucker.
Dr. America.
Dr. Miss America. Yeah. I just think this is great. You know, I really want positive role models for my daughters, you know, so I look for them in our society, in our movies, you know, things, people that they can want to emulate and look up to. And, you know, one of my daughters right now is a little girly, you know, she's dainty. She likes to dance. She likes to look pretty, you know, but at the same time, you can, you know, this is a woman that proves you could do both. You could want to be pretty. You could want to do these things. And at the same time, you can be a smart scientist and do more than what is typically thought of as a pageant person.
Yeah. So that's it for our weekly news here. As we hope you all enjoy your holidays. If you're listening to this later, enjoy your new year. And we'll be here for more news in 2020.
Yeah, we got one more show before the next decade, right?
I don't know.
We'll record next Monday. Next Monday is like the 30th, I think.
Yeah, we'll be recording in 2019, but the next episode will release on New Year's Day.
So we'll fucking time travel.
So after this one, we'll hear from you in 2020. But thanks as always for listening to the Nerd Cantina Show. You know, we talked earlier in the episode about hey, support us on Patreon if you can spare a dollar, if you can. It goes a long way towards helping us, showing us who's supporting us. We also are trying to improve our Patreon exclusives. So if you're interested in some of these full discussions with some of the movies like The Rise of Skywalker, that's going to be found over there on Patreon.
Yeah, and we do put a lot of work into cramming some time in here. We do spend a lot of time emailing for people for our guest spots and interviews, and you know, Ken does a lot of editing and I do a lot of social media stuff, so we do put a lot of our time that our families are not quite happy with. so to have a few dollars in the Patreon account to even just buy a set of flowers to take the stress off our end from our spouses.
Some supporter, you know, paid for flowers, like, would be great.
Like help a brother out. I'm trying.
All right. Well, hashtag we ain't too proud to beg.
Nope.
And thanks again for listening. And we'll see you in 2020.
Take care, nerds.